Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm getting disgusted with having to tell people the same thing over and over again. This is not a skate park.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me, as always,
Ben Vanel, hitting the snooze button. We are recording in the morning today.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly the earliest we've recorded.
I don't know.
That's my alarm.
Yeah.
Mine is Adam Knox.
So annoying.
Yeah.
Do you remember Florence and the Machine recorded Stand By Me for Final Fantasy 15?
No.
You don't remember that happening?
No.
It was like the opening,
no.
opening and closing song of that game, I
really?
Believe.
Don't remember.
I was going to sing Stand By Me,
yeah.
The song.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I woke up to. It was fucking weird.
It honestly?
It really confused me because I'd forgotten I'd said it. And then, like, I like setting a song to wake up to, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And I set a different one every day so you don't, like, fucking end up hating a song because
right.
it wakes you up every day.
It's like, you know, the Steve Jobs thing of, like, you wear the same thing every day to right. eliminate mm-hmm. the element of choice in the day. It's too much stress, too much hassle.
Yep.
You're clearer. You're just adding on more choices. I've got to not only pick a different outfit every day, I've got to pick a different song to wake up to.
Make every day different.
Yeah,
then
I
you
don't
get to live
it.
A thousand lifetimes.
Because
I'll only live for just over 3 years. Or just under.
Do you feel like the choice of song ever, like, kind of impacts the day? Like, you wake
100%.
Up and it gets in your head.
You can only have a certain type of song play early on. Like, I couldn't have, like, an angry song play. It's got to be
Florence
and the Machine doing Stand By Me. Oh, I'm mm-hmm. just driving in a car with my boys.
So
that's
so
all that's happening this morning.
Stand
you wake
me.
Up and you think, I'm driving in a car with my boys.
No.
Who's driving?
That ain't my energy, man. I'm like, it was confusing though. I woke up and I was like, who's fucking playing that music?
So
and that happens almost every time.
Yeah.
So waking up to Stand By Me. So if that's influencing your day, you're going to find a dead body.
Yeah.
Or just be loyal.
Pals?
Maybe yep. I'll get a leech on me. But
maybe
like,
you're going to eat too many pies and spew all
yes.
over everyone from the town.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
That's
a
lot
that's
more
a
like it. Yeah.
Well, you got here by walking down the train tracks. So.
Yeah. And I learned a lot about myself along the way.
The 20-year-olds that listen to this going, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, those idiots can't find old movies.
I don't think Stand By Me's
I've
got
never
like...
seen Gone with the Wind and I never knew about it.
Do you think Stand By Me has the cut? You know, because there's like films that were already old when we were young that kind of had enough kind of cut through in that. But I think there are films of, you know, the generations just kind of die out that don't really...
I think Stand By Me is one of them because there's no way that it would ever have come across my viewing except for like me getting really into movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Like my parents never brought it. Like it's just not something that they were watching.
Certainly it's like a teen/child movie.
Yeah.
Like those coming of age movies no longer. Like I watched The Breakfast Club not that long ago. And I couldn't give a fuck about any of those dorks. So that
sounds like you're a jock.
I would be in there bashing skulls, flushing noogies.
Yep.
But
my music teacher showed us Stand By Me.
Really?
He was a very slack music teacher.
Yeah.
He basically just put it on because he's like, yeah, there's some good songs in this, and it's the title of it's also a song.
Right.
So there you go.
Dead
there
Body,
was like,
I don't know, Cannibal Corpse, they're a bit, get the fuck out of here.
And we just watched it. I was like, this is great. And then got to the end, and there was no discussion, no like no essays on it or anything like that. And then after I finished school, I found out down the line he got booted from the school for having an affair with a student's mother. So I don't think his brain was really on the job. You know, he had other stuff. he had ulterior motives in there.
The title of this movie is Stand By Me. something crazy happens, you've got to stand by me. Mm. Even if you hear weird news, even if you see something that appears to be fucked up, stand by me.
A teacher who's like, now kids, you're either with me or against me.
Yeah.
When shit goes down, I'm going to need you all.
You're going to have to pick a side and you want to be on the right side of history, which is with me, the teacher who fucked a kid.
Well, hang on.
A kid's mum.
The kid's mum.
Oh, mum, I missed that keyword.
Not much of a, not the response that I would expect from you, given that you thought it was, you were very like low key about it.
Well, I thought it was a weird story to tell, but I went along with it. It's your podcast too.
Speaking of.
Can I tell you why I got up that early? I didn't tell you how early I got up. I got up early this morning with Stand By Me.
To do the podcast, we know.
No.
It's early for me.
To play Sifu beforehand.
What a disappointing way to wake up.
Yeah, I woke up with, not that disappointing.
Okay.
For me. So they unlocked it. It was one of those fucking stupid things they do now where you could buy a digital deluxe version, whatever, and get it
for
a couple days
early. For an extra $50.
But they fucked it up. So I think it was only an extra $12 or something for this one. Ooh. It was like 60 is like
price
the,
of a pint.
The normal price. Offer them a pint and they'll be like, come in a couple days early. Yeah. We'll get you sorted out. But they fucked it up and people on PlayStations at least couldn't get into it. So then they kind of had to unlock every version early. But then they relocked them and it was mess seemingly. And they're going to give them some digital costume or whatever.
that'll really make up for it.
Yeah.
I played a couple of hours at this morning. And I know you're interested in this game, Tommy.
Yeah.
You said it looked cool. What about you, Ben?
Well, I host a podcast about video games, so
no.
Kind of interested in most games.
Well, Sifu is a roguelike.
I'm less interested.
Snooze button.
Yeah.
Like martial arts beat 'em up game.
I'm more interested.
I'm back in.
Yeah.
And
but remember, it's a roguelike.
Yeah, remember that bit?
What if this is the start of Stand By Me? It's like, now I think I've found a dead body. However, he's wearing these clothes.
Yeah.
I think you got the clothes the previous time he died.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want it. So you're playing as this Chinese martial arts guy who is...
A martial artist.
A martial artist.
Yes.
Like Eminem.
Yeah, works at a Marshall sandwich shop. That was pretty funny. He's a martial artist. He knows a lot of very easily
he knows a lot of kung fu
and complicated moves. Well, I think there's different fighting styles in there. I don't know. And everyone's got American voices, and I think it was made in America, possibly.
Classic, Western representation of
kung fu. I don't know the exact lineage of the development team and shit. So
I saw the guy Edmund Tran, who runs Games Hub, an Australian guy.
It's actually pronounced Game Shub.
Fuck, that's because they have Screen Hub and it's like, well, there's no issues there.
No.
But Game Shub.
Game Shub.
Welcome to Game Shub.
He posted a few, like a bit of a Twitter thread of like, this is a Korean film reference. This is like, it's not it's the most like culturally faithful.
You picked that up as like very early on too. It seems to just be doing like what in the 70s people would have thought of as like Asian action movies.
Right.
So it's like a very broad like genre piece that I do think like visually and aesthetically and everything works really, really well. Mm. I think it looks great. It's got this like cool, like kind of flat colored style that is really appealing. And you start off kind of going through a tutorial level as the eventual villain of the game who kills your father. Classic revenge story stuff. You're in the cupboard. You see it happen.
That's Nate doing the tutorial as the villain. I like that.
I liked it too. And he's pretty hot. And then you're like...
That's not where I thought that was going.
Yeah, long hair. It's like slick in the rain. But then like...
You've had a lot of emotions already so far today.
It's been a real crazy morning.
It's like... Barely 10 a.m.
Confusion and horny are the two that I felt, but that's my entire gamut. So
that's my everyday range.
What the fuck? Why am I behind? Anyway.
Looking down at your erect penis and you Stand By Me to it.
The controls are like, so I'm only a couple hours into it, and it is very much a repeat this until you get better at it type of game.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Where so you see your father get killed. One of the, there's like sort of a gang of five or six of the villains, and mm-hmm. you will later be going to get revenge. And like, it plays through this cool title sequence that teaches you more moves.
Yep.
Where you're like imagining yourself killing all of the, getting revenge on all of these people.
Oh, sick.
It looks mm-hmm. really great.
Right.
And the animations are really like fluid, and I'm enjoying the combat. It's just really difficult.
Yeah,
for me
right.
at this point. So the way it works is you start off as a, well, after you come back, you're 20. You're a 20-year-old man. You've been studying martial arts to get your revenge ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going out to track down these people. You've got a couple of leads on this sort of whiteboard with some news articles and whatever stuck on it. And you're going to find them. So you go to these, it's like drug making warehouse thing
mm-hmm.
First to find one of them, and you're beating up people as you go through. You're jumping over counters, you're throwing bottles at people's faces, and then you're finding it difficult to find the exact timing for how to parry someone. You're dodging, but then they still connect with you somehow because they like sort of snap towards you a bit more, and you're like, well, that didn't look like it should have happened.
Mm. Right.
You're forgetting the dozens of combos that there are.
Okay. Right.
And every time you die, and you die quite quickly, you've got a little bit of health, mm-hmm. and you can get it whacked down pretty fast, you age a year. So you get a little skull,
okay.
and it goes, all right, you're 21 now. And then if you get killed again before you've killed someone else, you've got two skulls. And then it's like, now you're 23.
Okay.
And then you get three, now you're 26, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're aging as you play through this game. And the goal is you've got to get through every boss and every area and go. And as you go through, you're like getting keys that can open a door in this level to get you through that first level quicker.
Oh, sure.
And in a Returnal sort of way, you've got to do it before you die.
Yeah.
Old age, yeah. basically. You get to, I think it's 75. Then it's like, that's the oldest I can imagine. And
the age that everyone should be dead.
You've got these like sort of band of medallions hanging off of your belt, and they smash as you get older. And so they're the things that are reviving you.
Right.
So after, I guess when you get to 75, that's the max amount of medallions.
So when
you've
you
got
get
that
this
many
skull
years,
added on, you're not resetting back to the start of the level. You restart back to the very
exactly
start of the game
you
when you're 75.
That's right. So after you've died your final death, when the medallions all break, you will lose your progress.
Yep.
Other than you can spend like five times the amount of experience to get a permanent upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all these upgrades in a skill tree.
Yep.
That you can learn new moves and things like that. And you can get them permanently between deaths for extra experience, or you can spend less experience to have them just for that run.
Oh, yeah.
You come across these statues that will give you other power-ups, like more health or more power or whatever, better with items, because you can pick up pipes and smack people and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it does, like, it's doing a lot of cool. I think the Korean reference that he's probably talking about is it goes to the side of a hallway, like, oh, boy.
That was a screenshot.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it all works really cool in just like a general action fight movie cinematic sort of genre thing.
Yep. Right.
And so, yeah, you can get these other abilities that only last for that run, and then some of them get locked out to you once you're above a certain age. So you are encouraged to get those early,
mm-hmm.
but figuring out the best way to build your character as you go through this like linear progression of levels, but you've got to do them all in one run, is a really cool idea. And it works well, and watching yourself age as you go in this revenge story is really, again, cool idea.
It is.
It doesn't work as well once you've spent 55 years trying to beat up this one warehouse because you suck at the game early on.
Yeah, surely around 40, you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
If I couldn't do it when I was 21, I'm never going to be able to do it.
I ain't getting any younger, I guess. Yeah. Hey, you know what? My dad would have been dead anyway by now.
Right,
look,
right.
I was trying pretty hard to get a job on Triple J when I was 22. Mm-hmm. Now at the age of 35, it's just not happening.
No.
The dream's dead.
No.
Hey, ring, ring, Nova, hello.
Double J, yeah. Yeah. Maybe the best revenge is living well in middle age.
Exactly.
Right?
But
a guy that worked in there told me I didn't have what it takes and I never will. That's a direct quote. But look at me now.
I bought a new car.
Say the word tunes. Nah, didn't like it. Get out of my office. You didn't even ask me about how my barbecue was going.
Got a request? We were going to play that anyway, but sure, that sounds sick.
Can you smug up that voice a little?
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
How come there's no Grateful Dead in the music library, guys? A real gap in our knowledge in here.
What's a text?
But yes, it
sounds good. It sounds better than I thought it was going to be.
It is very cool.
I was interested in it, so yeah.
And it plays kind of like a fighting game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
nice.
you're behind the back sort of view most of the time, but you know, you're doing like a brawler thing. You've got a light punch and a heavy punch, and you got a block and you got a dodge and that sort of stuff. And you can parry if you block at the right time, and you can use different combos of like up down on the left stick, and then square is a nut shot, or up up square.
Whoa.
That's a crotch punch.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that is the first move that is listed in your moves, and you can make some pretty cool stuff happen, it seems, once you get good at it.
Right.
Which I am, again, absolutely not yet. But
this is going to be good for like highlight clips on TikTok and stuff, right? Of like people being like, oh yeah, I got a 47 combo and every person was in the air at once or something.
Right, right. And like,
do you control as you age, does that have much of an effect on how you control?
Not that I've noticed.
Okay.
Your hair gets longer and...
It's not my experience.
You get like a beard, you sort of dress differently, but it's not affecting how you move.
Okay. Right.
There are like big groups of people who all come at you at once, and then there's like big brawlers, big burly boys who come at you. And it's got all the stuff that you would want it to have. It just is I've not clicked with it yet.
That's what I've read, is that it's very, very, very demanding. But I saw it. Yeah, there's a review on IGN that gave it a 9. They loved it. And then I think maybe Polygon were like, there's a decent game under there, but it just gets in its own way.
Mm. I'm not surprised that it's getting that sort of mixture, because I kind of feel somewhere in the middle of that where like, I want to get good at this and I'm not sure that the game will ever let me.
Right.
Me personally, not let one, but just whatever's going on with like the timing windows and stuff, it's not clicking.
Well,
but
you need those,
the structure
like
of it, the way that it's doing its roguelike stuff is like Returnal, where it's that good version of it that is more-ish.
Yeah,
and
right.
Like you can see progression and you want to fuck them up.
Yeah.
Like having that time limit on going through the whole game of 75, which is a time limit applied to every aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, like, it was so weird playing through this game and going from 20 to 29 and being like, oh, I got all the time in the world. I can keep dying. And then the second I saw that 3-0 tick over, I was like, oh no, I'm going to die soon.
I haven't been on the gala. I fucked it.
Oh, Triple J, no.
Little do they know, you can make your own radio show these days.
Oh man, I'd love to ask you about how later on. So I think you might like it.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
its similarities
it
to Returnal. And it is a good and complex brawler beat 'em up thing. I just am not good at memorizing combos in the way that it wants me to.
Mm. Yeah.
And I've not been able to get the timing of the parries especially quite down yet. But I'm hoping that clicks, because I want to keep playing it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was like 16, I memorized every move for like Armor King in Tekken 2.
That's
know?
Lucky, because like, these are exactly the same ones as Armor King.
But it's like, if you have a good memory, or if this clicks with you in a way that like, dials into your muscle memory, maybe it'll be really, really fun and satisfying.
I think now that I'm a lot more, now that I understand, because it doesn't really introduce all the concepts to you right up front. You have to kind of go through that first lifetime to be really told like, okay, so here's how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was playing pretty hesitantly for that bit, because I was like, what the fuck's happening? I'm getting really old. Mm. So I think now I'll be a little more willing to experiment and practice and learn than when you're holding back.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's when you can't learn.
Yeah.
You've got to be putting yourself out there, outside of your comfort zone.
I wish I'd learned this like earlier in my first lifetime.
Yeah, dude. If honestly, I could get to 75 and just go again.
Yeah.
Well, sure, I'll lose all my progress.
Yeah.
Some of it's permanent. I've still got those fucking keys.
Yep.
Yeah, that I found.
Okay.
Not bad. I'll take them.
Yep.
Yeah. But I'm having fun.
Yeah.
And it's
nice.
Like on the cheaper side of full price games. It's a $60 game in Australia, which is
half the price of a PS5 game these days.
Yeah, it looks cool. I've always wanted to get like more into Street Fighter and stuff because like I love the feel and the aesthetic of those games, but the just having to like spend time sitting there in the little training room of it and just memorizing the button inputs is very unfun to me. Mm. I just don't have that part of me that's like willing to kind of like sit there and just do that in a very, very dry way.
This is maybe the cool way of doing it then, because you're sort of making progress every time.
Mm. Okay.
And like if you went in being like, I've got this combo and they're the ones I'm going to practice for this run, that's the way I've kind of shifted in my head to thinking I might do.
Okay.
For at least the next run or two. So I'm enjoying it. And if you like fighting games, I reckon it's an easy recommend.
Right. Yep.
If you like roguelikes, it seems like a cool different take on that, because I don't think I've seen a brawler in this fashion be done as one. But that's all I have to say about Sifu.
Sifu.
I hope that's enough for you. Well, and I look forward to hearing back about my breakfast position here on...
By the time we're 75, GTA 6 might have come out.
Hey, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah,
I love these things that become big news stories. Just the devs going like,
It's Rockstar, in development.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
I wonder what the tipping point of messages questioning whether it existed was for them, where they were like, "Yes." So if you didn't see, Rockstar like just put out a tweet being like, "Yeah, of course we're working on GTA 6, motherfuckers."
It's in active development. Yes. Right. This could mean anything. That could just be a whiteboard with like crime question mark.
Yeah.
And then just probably a tick next to that. Quite early on in the active development process, let's do crime again.
Yeah. That's the thing that tipped it into being active.
Yeah.
It was just kind of loose development, and then someone went, you know what? I'm scrubbing off the question mark.
Yeah.
We're on.
Yeah. Put a big red circle around that and then some lines coming out and nothing else.
Yeah.
I would imagine active development means they have switched over from the point where they're working mainly on GTA Online. And Red Dead, I suppose, was the other big thing they were doing.
Active development must mean it's just, it's out of the kind of brainstorming, spitballing phase, and they're like...
Yeah, true.
There's like a clear, like, this is what it is.
They're making stuff.
Yeah, they're not going to... There's not a prototype that's probably going to be abandoned. It's like, this is... We're full steam ahead on it.
I'm going to confidently say that means it will be out by 2027. Because it was 5 years between GTA 5 and Red Dead 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason why I've picked that year.
Yeah, well, Red Dead 2 didn't come out this year, did it?
No. No, but I said 5 years from... No, that's true. But I think they would have still been working on GTA Online and shit. And I'd give myself some buffering. Mm, I would be so surprised if it came out by the end of 2023.
I think probably we'll get maybe a little post of something later in the year, of like a logo, probably, right?
A car
and a logo. And maybe the protagonists will get a little show.
Yeah, the little
2023
thing,
I think we get the build up, and then 2024 or holiday 2023.
Holiday 2023 would surprise me, but it's not impossible.
Yeah,
but yeah, it definitely during this console generation.
But
yeah,
I think it could surprise you, because Presumably, they basically have the engine.
I guess.
Five.
Or from Red Dead 2.
Yeah, I would think there's a lot less building from the ground up than they had to do for Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
And even GTA 5.
Well, who knows how much they're going to shift design stuff, like how much they focus on multiplayer and things like that. That was the other thing.
Yeah.
Because they did say, I think in some other interview, one of the higher ups at Rockstar said, we believe in single player games still. Like, we're absolutely doing that. And like, obviously, GTA Online being such a big thing, it makes sense why people would question whether that was going to be their focus next time or whatever. But Red Dead 2 was... the biggest fucking craziest single player game that's arguably ever been made.
Absolutely. Yep. A real mature story that was clearly well written, well thought out.
Enormous and so focused on single player that they, by all accounts, have completely fucked the multiplayer again and again. So yeah, I think it'll be exactly what you would imagine a GTA 6 would be after GTA 5 had come out.
Mm.
Just probably a decade later than you might have expected.
It's always like such a weird way to me to announce something like this, to just be like, be questioned about it and then go, yeah, we're working on it, rather than have that big moment of like, here's a, even if it's just very vague, here's a teaser trailer.
The Bethesda, like how they had that like shot of the mountains and then Elder Scrolls 6 written over it.
Even just that.
And that was years ago. Yeah. And they've said, it'll still be ages until we even think about that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's a but little. That's like a very controlled. Like we roll out a video, and yeah. that seems to me like a more interesting and controlled way of announcing that something is happening.
Yeah, because
something
this
that you don't even need to announce is happening, because it's like, of course, yeah, of course there's going to be a GTA.
Because it was a tweet, but it was a link to a blog post that was like, here's a few things in GTA Online that are coming out soon.
Right.
And then the very last one was like, and we'd like to reassure our fans that, yes, the next entry in the Grand Theft Auto series is in active development.
The fact that PS5 version of GTA 5 still hasn't even come out that they announced as the first
the
game
very
they ever
first
announced
thing.
For the PS5.
Yeah.
And who knows where the fuck that is.
Yeah.
And that's that, meant to be free, but I think now they're saying just the online will be free. Ugh. I saw some weird, what seemed like a backpedal to me on that. I don't know, man.
Because that got moved, but they didn't date it, did they?
Nah. I think they might have said March 2022.
Yeah, right.
So I remember maybe 2021 even. I can't fucking remember, honestly.
Because that presentation would have been late.
That was the one in like July in 2020, I reckon.
Right, mid-2020. Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, because it came out in late 2020.
Yeah.
The PS5, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
The PS5's been out a little while now.
Yeah.
Like, time is all over the place.
And there's not a fuck ton of games for it, honestly.
No.
Every time I'm checking the store, like every 2 days, I'm going to say.
The Scloosies on there are Returnal and
Demon's Souls.
Ratchet.
Demon's Ratchet. Souls, Ratchet, and is Deathloop not last gen?
No, it's on PC.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's not. But you can't get it on a PS4, can you?
No.
No.
But if it's on PC as well, yeah. Like that's
Do you say Returnal?
Yep.
Okay.
So that's like what that's
for? You
actually
said it twice. I've been fucking years.
Well, I died and I had to do it again.
Yeah, so I like it's so hard to give a shit about Grand Theft Auto 6 as well when they like are announcing it in quotes. Like
right,
this.
It's still as much of a thing as it was before the announcement.
Yeah, exactly, because it's been an of course since 2013.
Yeah.
So
God, it's going to be more than a decade.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They didn't put out a new Grand Theft Auto game in the whole last console generation.
That's right, yeah.
And how long was there between 4 and 5?
4 and 5, there was 5 years, I reckon, 2008
to
13.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to them, it's not like they've just done... they did put out another massive game in the middle of that.
And
that
all
is
the online
that same
stuff.
Sort of shared DNA, so yeah. Well, an announcement of something that will not be happening.
Okay.
Fortnite being supported for Valve's Steam Deck.
Oh, yeah.
I saw this. Do they... You can still play it on it. They just won't be specifically supporting on it.
They...
Again,
because
right?
it's on...
I think
because it natively runs Linux...
Yeah.
They, which makes it easier to cheat in, they don't want it to be able to run natively on that. So you can still run Windows on the Steam Deck and run Fortnite through that. You'll still be able to do it, but you'll just have to take a few extra steps and not be running it natively on there out of the box. Which for the real people, that the real heads, I don't think that'll stop them, but it is an interesting move to be like...
Yeah.
Because Tim Sweeney has previously said that the Steam Deck is... I forget the exact quote, but he's like really come out and like praised it when they first announced it.
Well, the Epic Game Store will be an app on there before you've had to install Windows or anything like that. Like Xbox Game Pass, I'm pretty sure, and Epic Game Store and probably Origin and will be there for your just base launch version of...
Yeah.
So yeah, he's praised it in the past, and then it's a kind of seems a weird move to come out and be like, no, fuck that.
Mm.
It makes sense if it's between that or like kind of jeopardizing the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Make that choice. Totally. But it's kind of, I don't know, it seems weird for something that's that big to sort of not have that native support out of the box. Maybe down the line. Maybe they'll work out a way to do it.
Also, the first thing I'm planning on doing with the Steam Deck is install Windows.
Right.
Like literally the first... Like,
just
I'm
make
not,
it a PC.
Yeah. It's a portable PC to me. So,
there's been a few previews of that thing coming out this week.
Yeah, there's quite a lot. There's if you go look up on YouTube, there's a bunch of people got given... just got given them, right? Pretty unfiltered...
Must be nice.
Pretty like unfiltered... there's like a handful of games they're allowed to talk about, but they've just been...
Right.
It's not like sit down and play it for half an hour. I think they've like...
They've taken the thing apart and they've properly run it through tests and things. And all the benchmarks, being done with a certain set of games. But they don't appear to be games where they're like, you know, these are the six that run the secret best and all the others will run like dog shit. It's like Control and it's stuff that is pretty intensive on a regular PC.
They gave them Control, Forza... Devil May Cry 6.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Dead Cells.
Five. Yeah.
Okay.
So like a bit of a... So Control would be one of the ones that you would think would really like...
Yeah.
And Forza.
Yeah,
the two
yeah,
that you would think would really be pushing it to the brink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by and all they, accounts, they look like they run well on there.
And it's cool that like... The way they've been benchmarking and stuff, it's not like they all run at a perfect fluid 60 and it's all like great, which makes you think, oh, well, this is real then.
Yeah. Mm. You know? Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks fucking cool still.
Yeah.
Like, still no word about Australia, right?
None.
Nah.
No.
Is it just is it just America as well? It's I don't think it's like even...
And Japan?
Right.
Am I maybe. Wrong about that? Could be. Who's to tell me?
It's not the
UK?
Whole world though.
It's not.
Think.
It's not the whole world. They okay. they shrunk it back down from what it originally was too, because they realized
right.
they wouldn't have the resources and
whatever. Yeah. It's cool. It's like I was thinking about this because we were talking about this the other day about you know our plans for the rest of the year
mm-hmm.
and potential travel that we might have on.
Yeah.
And once the you know when the Switch came out, it was like, man, this is so great, especially for the pod. Something comes out on it, don't have to worry that I'm away for the weekend. Mm. Can still like get in some time. And so we were sort of saying like, yeah, by the end of the year, we could be in a position where pretty much anything that comes out, if you're away, you're going to be able to still engage with.
Mm.
The only exception being the first party PlayStation games.
Of which we've just established there's none.
There's none, yeah.
So it's yeah. a perfect situation for the traveling Steam Deck owner.
You can do remote play...
I guess so, yeah.
With your PS5,
I
right?
think you have to be on the same network. I don't think you can do
oh,
it
okay.
off like
it's
from
not
a,
like a cloud thing.
Yeah, I think it has
okay.
to be
okay.
from like a different room of the house.
Right.
On, I think because I was looking into this a while ago.
Right, it's not they're like xCloud.
No, it's definitely not like xCloud. And there hasn't just been a huge amount of opportunity to test that sort of stuff for us in the last year and a half almost since the PS5 came out.
Yeah, but you know with like... with the Steam Deck being a handheld that is able to do such high-end graphics...
Is really that what it is?
Sorry. With the fact that it can get like such good performance out of a handheld...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does open the door. Like, it kind of makes... Because, you know, you sort of just assume like, well, the Switch is probably like... And when it came out, maybe it was pushing the higher end of what they could do for that price.
Mm.
But now we're 5 years on and seeing that this is what's capable of. I could see Sony doing something like they... Because they haven't done a handheld for a while. They do a handheld that just basically is you get access to your cloud saves and your library. That's, you know, they're not making games for this handheld.
Mm.
It's like, here's a portable that's if you travel and you want to be able to play your games from your library, sync your saves,
mm-hmm.
and then take this on the road and there you go.
I can't imagine that happening personally just because they got so fucked with the Vita that I think they were like, we're done with handhelds.
But I mean... Mm. But
they're putting out like the VR2 soon, so
that's
all
true.
Their hardware department.
But this would be, I mean, more as their equivalent of like something like a Steam Deck or something like a Switch
sure.
that is people I think more are going to be more into this idea of you can pick your library up wherever you are. If
yeah.
you're on the go, you can just access the stuff you've been playing at home. Not, I want a thing to take with me that has a completely different library of games to what I have at home.
Number of years, maybe, but like, especially with how it seems so difficult to get, like they can't even make enough PS5s to sell.
Right, right.
And the reason is because of a thing that made everyone stay at home a lot more than often.
Mm.
So like, I can't imagine them doing that anytime soon.
Maybe after they roll out their Game Pass equivalent and it's more like,
maybe.
Oh, there's a bunch of games where if you could like hit download on a portable device and it wouldn't matter where you are,
yeah.
you know, to give it a try. Maybe
right.
after that, yeah.
Like we've said with Xbox as well, though, like just getting a good app running on a phone seems to be the way more economical solution. If
yes.
you're
yeah.
Sony.
Yeah.
If you're
yeah.
like, have your PS5 at home and that'll run it or whatever, and then here's your thing. And that remote
is that
play
definitely
thing,
not possible.
I think that's what remote play is, but I think the lag does get kind of bad when you're not in the same place.
Okay.
I don't think you have to be on the same Wi-Fi network, but maybe you do.
I just never hear anyone talk about it or plug it because the Xbox thing saw a bit of noise about, but I've never heard anyone talk about. I could be could be completely wrong, but I've never
There's 100% a remote play app. I'm going to try and turn on my PlayStation
okay.
right now.
Yeah, because I've used the app, but just in my house to play a bit of Ratchet and Clank on my phone.
Control your PS5 console from a Windows PC.
Okay.
I've said I want to connect to my PS5.
Okay.
I've told my phone that. Now I'm giving it my login details.
Yep. What are they?
CUMLORD69. I'm just messaging my dad to ask him what my password is.
He's got an interesting name. yeah, using the PS Remote Play app, you can control your PlayStation 5 or 4 from a PC or Mac connected to a high-speed network.
Right, okay.
So you can already do it.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
You seemed confident, Tommy. Yeah. I got swindled.
I really was.
But sometimes, Tommy...
I was deliberately trying to gaslight you both. Because I think that's fun and cool.
No, you don't. Why are you lying to me?
You were trying to gaslight, gatekeep, and a little bit of girl boss too.
Yeah. Well, I thought...
For 3Gs.
Yeah.
I thought that app was...
Well,
you
I'm
can,
looking for 5, though. Get my PS5 on. Ham?
You can access it to, like, get on and... download stuff.
That's the other app.
While you're out.
That's just the, yeah, there's
more
like
than
four
one app.
PlayStation apps. Right. Yeah.
Get this fucker off the podcast.
I know. He doesn't know shit.
Yeah, I don't know
you'll,
anything about the
you'll
ecosystem.
Never have what it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, and you never will.
Well,
right.
None
it's
of us
happening again.
Well, none of us knew, but I was the only one who didn't bother to get their phone out and Google on the
yeah,
I
yeah.
stood my ground.
The other thing is, too, that like in Australia, it's all a moot point because of the quality of internet we've got
right.
here.
Yeah,
know,
it's
like,
not pleasant. No.
It's all delayed. So, yeah, you can play like a Persona or something a little more easily. But
from
what I recall vaguely having seen. But more of a focus on that stuff would make more sense to me is the point than working on a handheld. Other than from Nintendo, who will keep doing that. Or will probably put out a fucking console next with a foot pedal and you've got to be at home.
Yeah. Well, you know what my favorite type of handheld is?
No.
The little device that you hold in your hand.
Yes.
You drop your drawers and you get shaven.
Okay, now there's two possible things you could be holding in your hands.
Well, not if you're getting shaven. If you're getting shaven, there's only one possibility that I trust.
Well, no, because you've got to be holding the thing you're shaving.
Oh, sure.
Well,
no,
I've got two hands.
I hang upside down like a bat.
Yeah, no.
To give me the...
Expose all the crevices. Manscaped. Our wonderful sponsors, Manscaped. They're back again. They're helping us stay trimmed and terrific into the new year. And hey, if you want your partner to have access to a top-of-the-line shaving product, perhaps you could gift them one for Valentine's Day.
Mm. Valentine's Day's coming up. It's next Monday.
Yeah.
Everyone remember. Everyone get it locked in your brains now. And a good gift is like there's a little gift set thing that Manscaped do with their lawnmower 4.0.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. And I've still lost mine and I don't know how the fuck I did it. Because why would it be
mysteries.
Anywhere other than the bathroom?
Walking
around the house, eating an apple, fucking shaving my balls.
Maybe
it's not how I live.
Maybe someone stole it.
Maybe. It's a good product.
Yeah.
But rather than doing that, they should have just gotten 20% off on free shipping of their own fucking one.
Yeah.
From manscaped.com by using the code FILTHY.
That's right. Yeah, the code FILTHY. I'm like embarking on a new relationship. Valentine's Day is right at the start.
And you don't want to let them know that you've got fucking hairy balls.
I was going to say I'll give them a shaver and be like, oh, all right, love.
Yeah. Really self-sabotage early on.
Yeah.
If you either want to ruin a new love or trim yourself to get in nice shape for it, manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY, 20% off, an already reasonable price, and free shipping. Which is fucking just a great deal.
I'd call it a deal for sure. You know what else is a deal?
What?
Being able to purchase video games for the low, low price of recommended retail price.
Yeah.
I hear you boys have done that a couple of times this week.
Yeah,
let's set
this
up very quickly before we get into the rest of our reviews. By the time this is out, there will have been a Nintendo Direct. Will have
right.
Yeah, we should have said that at the start.
Yeah.
Probably now, also plugged stuff.
Ordinarily, what we would do is we woke up this morning to this news. We're recording this on Wednesday. The pod goes out Thursday night.
I woke up before this news.
God damn it. Ordinarily, we would delay the recording.
Yeah.
Do the app after the Direct had been on.
Yeah, yeah, because the app still doesn't come out until Thursday evening.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The reason we can't do that is because I will be on a flight. The Direct is at 9 a.m. My flight takes off at 9:40 a.m.
Right.
So I'll be doing that thing where we're just taxiing down the runway and meet. You know, the flight attendants always seem to know. It's like, that's not a video that you've downloaded.
Yes.
That's something that you're streaming off the internet.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Have you never had that?
No.
I mean, I've never looked at my phone or a computer until after we've taken off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just
pop
it in the pocket.
I'm sitting there as we're taxiing and I feel like...
I love
even
looking out
they
the
can't
window.
See the screen, yeah. They just know what's going on.
No, I love looking out the window, and I also
the weird middle ground of recklessness and anxiety that you've got to have to be like, yeah. I can watch a video even though they told me to tell me off. Oh, fuck everything. It doesn't matter if we crash.
Yeah.
I hope they're not looking at me and judging. That middle ground is like such a bizarre place to hover in.
Well, that anxiety takes the edge off the anxiety of the fact that I'm flying, which is an incredibly unsafe thing to be doing. So if I stress
about
especially
if some cunt's on his fucking phone.
Yeah, they're going to mess up the instruments and crash the plane.
I'll be
come in tower. We are ready for takeoff. This year we're going to be taking Kirby on a journey around the
honestly the dream for me would be flight delayed by just like half an hour. To really fuck up the whole day.
Sitting at the gate, just
I'll miss the flight for sure. Yeah. Noise cancelling headphones on.
Of course. Yeah.
Watching a bit of Project Triangle strategy.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They've said that it's for games, mostly for games that are coming in the first half of 2022, all of which I feel like we probably know about at this point. There might be a surprise or two, and then maybe there'll be something about, I would imagine it would be about Breath of the Wild or something announced rather than some crazy thing out of nowhere. So
if there's anything worth talking about, we'll do a quick little, probably me over the Discord chat audio. Yep. We'll do like a little thing that we'll tack on to the end of this. But hey, if you get to the end of this episode and there's nothing, it means that we didn't think there was anything in the direct worth talking about.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think I got a pretty high requirement. If it's just a pretty bland Breath of the Wild 2 trailer that doesn't say anything new,
right,
I'm still probably, I'm happy to talk about it next week. It's not a revelation.
I think that'll be, weird and unlikely for them to do something like that. It'll either be like nothing or a date and a proper trailer.
Right. Yeah, true. Yeah.
At this point.
My theory is if we
don't. The worst case scenario is you get a Numa show up and he takes a deep bow and you're like, oh, God damn it. We're slipping into 2023.
I think if we don't see a proper Breath of the Wild trailer of like, here's the title.
Yeah,
here's
the
proper title of it.
You'll commandeer the plane and fly it to Tokyo or to Kyoto, sorry.
I think if we don't get something like that in this, then it's not coming out this year.
Ooh.
I think if they don't go at least here's a title and it's like later in the year and then E3 we show you like more of it. Mm. I think if we don't get a glimpse tomorrow, then we're not seeing it this
maybe
year.
Maybe I'd still wait till E3 before.
Yeah, I almost imagine that there might be, a Breath of the Wild direct in like May.
Well, I'm 74 years old as of time of recording and I turned 75 in June. So I'm not going to be making it to...
Oh, no.
I'm not going to be making it to E3. That's so
But then you can start again and go all the way back to Mario Brothers 1. Just play everything again.
But then you'll have to wait another 35 years for Breath of the Wild 2.
That's great. You're on your deathbed and you're like, oh, I mean, I've feared death my whole life, but at least now I get to solve mankind's greatest mystery of what happens when you die.
Yep.
And you just you walk and you see the light at the end of the tunnel and it's just world one, level one.
Yes.
Like, this is what it was the whole time.
He was trying to warn us.
Shigeru had a near-death experience where he was legally dead for about 5 minutes. Yes. And he came back and he was like, there were these little fucking brown fucked up little men.
A mushroom, bashed my head on a block. It looked like my little fist, but for years I thought it was my head jumping into it, but it was actually, they did animate the fist to punch the block.
Nah.
I always thought it was just my head whacking it.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing
put fucking Fox McCloud in this, hey.
I'm looking forward to seeing 25 minutes of details about a multiplayer mode in Kirby, a game that's out in a month's time that no one will touch anyway.
I would get, and again, it's already happened, but I reckon Kirby, Splatoon, Triangle Strategy, those ones that they've already announced.
Well, once I've had to turn the phone off, or on flight mode at the very least, I'll tell you what I will be doing in the air. Playing a little more of a game that I played probably few hours of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Ollie Ollie World.
Mm.
A new skateboarding platform game.
Yeah.
That is out on everything, I think.
Yeah, I'm playing it on PC.
I'm playing it on the Nintendo Switch.
Matter of fact, I'm not playing it at all.
It's, if you want to get it for the cheapest price possible, it's like $33 on cdkeys.com.
Okay. Well,
But it's like a $45 game on the major platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got like a cool... So this is like the third one of these that they've made.
What?
Yeah.
Ollie Ollie 1 and Ollie Ollie 2.
Fuck me dead.
But this is a full kind... Because those two are like, they're real like 8-bit or even more kind of rudimentary looking, right?
Just simplified looking.
Yeah, very like, blocky.
Right.
2D.
They were on like the Vita and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So from ages ago.
10 years, maybe.
So with it, this is like a kind of a refresh using this art style that's very like Adventure Time.
Yes, kind of like exactly what I was
cell shadedy
yeah.
looking pastel colors, very goofy sort of storyline of it's yeah. in this world of Radlandia where there's 5 skate gods who created the world and
yeah.
made everything skatable. It's very stupid, but it's very charming. It's really working for me because it's. It's very Adventure Time. It's very
totally.
Like, goofy and silly. And
it's self-aware and not in an annoying way. You know, like, yeah, they ascended to Nirvana.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it's. I think it's good. I think it's fun writing.
It's funny. Yeah. yeah. It's so consistent. Like, yeah. it's just all in.
Yeah.
2014 and 15.
Yeah, I'm just originals. Looking at the first one. So, they share essentially nothing aesthetically.
I think the gameplay DNA is the same, but right. they've completely stripped it away and gone.
Because this is a 2D skateboarding game.
Yeah.
Not something I knew before I started playing it. And I was a little let down, like purely my own fault.
You wanted it to be like Tony Hawk
yeah.
cartoon.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
It essentially is it's a Tony Hawk 2D platformer.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, yeah, there's a you're going from A to B, you're gradually unlocking new, like it seems at the beginning, you feel like you've done all the tutorial stuff and it seems very, very simplistic. But I'm about halfway through the third world and you're still learning, you're still being taught new stuff pretty consistently. Every like 4 levels or so you learn like a new little thing. And it's very focused on, it's basically like there's an overworld map, get through these levels, but then each level has a kind of like a high score challenge and then like a objectives that give you extra points and extra little things that you can unlock. So it's you can just cruise through it, but it's if you're someone that loves going through and knocking off every little, you know, if you love getting all the little, you know, blue coins that are in the Mario levels and stuff like that, there's tons of that sort of shit in this.
Yes.
That are all, even in the early levels, like pretty tough to do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I am someone who like, with the Tony Hawk games, I do every objective in a level and then move on.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that fun in this as well because there are more levels, you know, like in a Tony Hawk, there's like, 10?
Yeah.
But this, it's like a world with like 7 to 10 levels. And each one has probably like, 3 to 4 challenges and like also like a score benchmark and complete it without fucking up.
Yeah. And there'll be objectives that are like, you know, there'll be little seagulls dotted around. It'll be like, it'll either be get to the end having hit none of the seagulls or hit all of them.
Yep.
And as you go on, there's it introduces like branching pathways in the levels. So you'll come to a little fork and you push wider. And generally speaking, if you branch off the main path, it'll be a little trickier.
Right.
But sometimes the objective will be like, hit this thing and you miss the turn off and you can see it in the background. It's like it was on the other pathway. So it's like, all right, well, next time I do it, I just know to. So there's all sorts of stuff like that in it. I'm loving it. Like it takes a little bit to get into the levels to like really open up. But once you're doing like the wall grinding and really getting into the stuff of you have to be really precise with timing your jumps kind of in and out of like getting onto the grind rails and then doing the wall riding, and there is like big gaps that you can fall down. I found it a little difficult at the start to kind of get the 2D platformer experience out of my brain because I kept hitting A to jump over gaps, but A is just push yourself forward and then to jump and do tricks, it's holding down on the stick and letting it go.
Yeah.
But that's just purely my own just experience of playing mostly 2D platformers for the last 2 decades.
I also went into it being like, okay, yeah, push, expecting like hold A to ollie, but it's not. It's like ollie is just one of the tricks that you do.
And you do like push down on the stick and then release it. Like to crouch and jump. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Is this like sort of like a runner type of thing? Like a, you know, that type of platform like Super Mario Run or whatever where you've got momentum
it's
and you're
continuous
kind of
motion.
Through
the level. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's very like, it reminds me of the sort of, I think there was a game kind of similar to this that
Ollie, I think it was.
That went around at school, like on the shared network.
Oh. Those like endless runner type games have been a thing, for a while, for sure.
But the aesthetic of it is great.
Yes.
I love the very pastel palette, the the kind of chill wave, lo-fi, hip-hop beats to study to soundtrack.
It's
great.
Music is fantastic.
Music's great. Yeah.
Yeah,
the whole look and feel of it is so cool. And like, yeah, there's these goofy little things before each level that you can skip, but you've got your little crew of skater friends that are, you know, giving you a little bit of backstory to each level is kind of like has like a little theme to it where it's like you're traveling around and they're like, hey, now we've got to go here and meet this guy. And it's all very charming. It's all skippable, but it's all like, yeah, there's nice little sort of very comic booky bits of like,
yeah,
hey, this guy's lived here for, you know, 100 years and he carves ramps out of the trees for us and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's so consistent and so,
yeah,
just, yeah, so fully realized.
I would watch a series.
Yeah.
Like, it's that, like, it's so well drawn. It's so filled with character. And even, like, yeah, the one that you make, the customized character, everything just is so well drawn, so detailed.
It's the most fun I've had with a character creator thing in a little while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
I generally don't tend to enjoy that kind of stuff.
So I bought it this morning, and once it got to the character creation screen, I was like, fuck, I might not actually have time to play the game.
Right.
Because, like, I probably started it, like, an hour before.
Yeah.
Yeah, before this. I was like, oh, fuck, this is sick.
Yeah. But so, it's, yeah. It's, I'd really recommend it if any of that sounds appealing to you. It's, yeah, I think even if you haven't gelled with Tony Hawk in the past, it's still...
Sure, it's different
it's
enough.
It's still different
yeah.
enough because it's a, yeah, it's an A to B platformer. It's not a getting a high score to progress and having to go around and find all these things.
Yeah.
Keep your balance and all that kind of stuff. It's more just like, I feel like it gives you all the new moves at a decent enough pace that now I'm like, oh, I've actually got a lot of options because you can, yeah, you can hold to jump and do your trick in any direction. You can hold and do either a half rotation or a quarter rotation to do a different kind of advanced trick.
Mm-hmm.
You can hold the right stick to grab while you're in the air. You can press A just before you land to do like a little perfect landing thing that's another trick. Then you've got your grinds and your wall rides. And I think it's, I don't think it's done teaching me stuff yet, even at the point of World 3. So it's still, it rather than just give you all of this in a row straight away, it filters them through very nicely where then you go, oh, cool, now I've got this thing. I could probably get through that that branching path in that first world.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's really worth a look.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, watch some trailers. If the vibe, if the aesthetic doesn't gel with you, then you're probably going to have a tough time with it. But, yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Looking forward to playing more of it on the plane tomorrow.
Well, basically the opposite of a chill little game about being a little skateboarder having fun in a friendly world is a zombie world.
Yes.
Caused by a large global pandemic and the ineffective response to it, which the first game came out in 2015 of Dying Light, right?
Yeah.
So they were just stuck with that story for this one.
Yep.
But they put out Dying Light 2, Stay Human.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, dude. Stay human. See you on the flip side, brother.
they had a subtitle for the first one as well that was like...
Dying Light...
Be human?
Don't... Darkness is... Oh, fuck, what was it?
I think it was that. Don't Darkness is... The enhanced edition is the only one I can remember. So, but it's a first person, very climbing, jumping sort of based...
They use the word parkour a lot.
A lot. It's a parkour zombie game.
Yeah, it is. That's
you were both way off, by the way. Dying Light. Good night, good luck.
That's right. Oh. I was like, that's a name of a movie.
Yeah.
I knew it was something that annoyed me.
Dying Light 2. Be kind, rewind.
Yeah, so you... You start this game as I played the first one. Don't remember if this is related at all in terms of the character or whatever.
I think a couple of them are. I think like maybe Spike, who you sort of meet, but you're playing as a new character called Aiden Bobaden.
Yeah,
and you're like this.
You're a pilgrim.
You're a pilgrim.
So you just kind of go around in the world outside of the big settlements and like do jobs, do courier stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
you're
kind
like
of thing.
Sam Porter Bridges from Death Stranding. You're just like an outside guy who'll go between cities because it's fucking dangerous out in the world.
Yep.
Because there's all sorts of different zombies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you've just traveled like 2,000 miles or something, they say, because you're looking for your sister.
Yeah.
That is the driving plot of this game, is trying to find your sis.
It spends a long time with a few too many like
first person sort of cutscene things early on, sort of setting up you and your sister got separated for some reason. Now you're looking for the guy who you reckon knows where she is.
Yeah.
Right.
You tracked him down to this city.
Yep.
And you're going to go around this city getting other little odd jobs along the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it opens up into being, yeah, kind of a open worldy, go do this task here and this task here.
Yep.
Not quite survival game, but
no,
you
no.
know, crafty, backpacky,
yep.
Sort of first person melee focused combat game.
It's like, really, it's first person Last of Us, except not as well written.
And Far Cry.
And Far Cry thrown yeah. in as well, yes.
It's Far Cry zombies. It's probably the amount of work Ubisoft to put in that name too.
Yeah,
so like,
true.
And it's a real weird one for me. I'm enjoying it 1 second and then so bored of it the next.
I'm not bored. I'm not bored at all. Well, I'm skipping every dialogue bit.
Well, maybe that's a big part of the difference between our things.
Because yeah. I do really like it and I recommend it. And I think if you see like, oh, Mirror's Edge, but you're jumping around like, it's like Mirror's Edge, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, zombies, you know? Yeah. Like you're jumping around rooftops, you're building up momentum and like chaining together like, oh, just like bang, onto the chimney, onto the roof, across the bridge. Like it is very satisfying mm-hmm. to do that. And
yeah.
to get to the point where you're confident enough to do it, to be like, yeah, I'll run around at night where the zombies are like going to kill me.
They
like,
get like super powered at night and you can hide right. from them or go into UV lights to sort of avoid them. But if you get into contact with them, you'll start these like chase sequences
yeah.
that are
yeah.
pretty fun. They'll just gang up on you and run after you until right. you can hide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, and so, yeah, it's like, it's. I think it's fun mechanically. The combat's fine for a first-person melee game, you know, right. like it's better than a lot of other attempts at it, I find. The quests are interesting. Like, a lot of them are thinly veiled excuses to just have to go somewhere dangerous. Sure. But, like, I've done a couple where I've had to, like, go down into this, like, facility and it's, like, ex-military and you're, like, searching around and, like, the sort of puzzly platforming-ish nature of it of, like, well, it's dark. So
right.
you have just a flashlight. You got to find this thing. Oh, it turns out you have to go up the elevator shaft. You know, like that stuff is plotted quite well in terms of the design.
Yeah.
It's just got some of the worst dialogue I can remember from a game.
That's right. the thing that is dragging me down with it yeah. is that like I've been sitting through all of the cutscenes and they're like those sort of, yeah, first person cutscenes. It never breaks in first person. So you're like going back into some bullshit memory where your boring personality-less sister is just going like, Aiden, Bo Baden. And it's like, oh, cool. I'm meant to be attached to her because she's a kid.
Yeah.
Because it makes me fucking hate her.
Right, right.
But like, yeah, all of the writing is so dull and like all the characters are quite dull. And they're well enough voiced and like they're animated fine.
I think the voice acting is also bad. I think the lead is probably the best, but like there's a bit at the very start where the guy who you're like you run into at the very start of the game,
yeah,
you like get to the edge of the city and he's like, welcome to paradise.
Oh. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Why did you read it like that?
There was a weird misread of a few lines like that.
The intonation, it's like they recorded half of the sentence and then recorded the other half the next day.
Right. Well, and it sounds like, you know, the obvious way someone would do that is go like, welcome to paradise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a sarcastic, like, obviously it's not paradise. And it sounds like the actor did that and then they're like, do a few more takes.
Yeah.
Then they just used a random one where it's like, okay, how else could I fucking say it?
Welcome to paradise.
Oh, yeah, it's all a bit like that. But mostly rather than... And boring is worse than bad often. And that's what I'm finding a lot of the story stuff and the dialogue and the plot to be, which is keeping me at arm's length from it a bit, as well as, like, it feels a bit clunky and buggy to me.
That's what I've heard, is it's very buggy.
It's like...
I've only seen the one bug, which, we found out today, or I found out from you, that is a common thing.
On the PS5 version, there's like a weird black flash, like a blink.
It's
every
usually
few seconds.
I'm finding it like 1 second into a cutscene, it happens. Or 1 second out of, but in general play, I haven't experienced it.
It still happens in that for me, and like in the menus and shit. Like it's basically just the whole thing flashes black for like a frame.
Yeah,
and it's really grating.
Yeah,
and
it's weird.
It's been stuff like that, and just like that, like kind of awkward feeling that Dead Island and Dying Light had as well. Mm-hmm. Dead Island in particular feels like a step sort of back towards that,
right?
Which was Techland's first big one of these.
Yeah,
and just had that sort of. I don't know quite how to describe it, which is a huge problem for the thing that I'm trying to do, which is describe
maybe we
exactly
just guessed,
what the feeling
Tommy.
Is.
Yeah.
Confusing.
No.
Arousing.
Just, those are the only two options
hungry.
For me. That's what it is. The game is making me hungry. No, it's just like unpolished
yeah.
a little bit,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
which
okay.
it just is.
It is. Yeah, they're not a AAA studio, they're like more of a AA studio,
and it feels or like, you know, there were reports of how the development went wrong here and wrong here, and they had to switch it around. Ben dropped his sunglasses, so then he put them on, and it's so much harder.
I knew it would throw Adam off
because I was making eye contact with you.
It was sort of perfect because I was looking at you, Adam, because you were talking. So if you hadn't have brought that up, I just would have had the complete surprise
yeah.
of having not seen Ben put them on, turning back, and all of a sudden. This cunt's wearing sunglasses.
It's the Blues Brothers.
but it's not bad by any means. I think I think
it's good. I think they nailed the mechanics. They nailed the world design. The level design especially is fantastic when it is levels. The encounters are good. There's a lot of emergent gameplay.
Mm.
And even, yeah, the visual design of characters is good. I just think the dialogue is bad. I think the quest stuff is fine. And the overall story is like... It's about on par with almost every video game.
Just there's so much of it in this, or so much as a focus of it in at least the amount that I've played. You
yeah,
know,
it definitely opens up and it becomes a little less transparently fetch questy or, you know,
right.
A to B-ish. It becomes a bit more like, wait, I do want to know who this like evil looking dude is. What's his involvement? It becomes a bit more intriguing.
I do want to see more of it. Mm. That's the thing, because like I haven't really enjoyed doing the combat at this point.
I'm into it.
Yeah,
I'm really into it. Yeah.
I probably just either need to give it more time or go like, hey, this isn't for me. Because it really does feel like. The type of game that it is just not what I feel like playing right now, too. Mm, you know what I mean? That like,
because I love Dead Island. I really liked it a lot.
I got into it back in the day and then didn't play much of Dying Light. I do want to play because like, and they will support it for ages, too. So I think that's part of a thing is it makes me go like, oh, well, maybe I should hang out and wait for them to add more stuff to it and to fix up this and that.
Yeah.
Because
re-record that line.
Huh?
Re-record that.
Yeah, maybe they'll go back. Yeah. That'll just be the only patch they do in 5 years.
Welcome to paradise.
And it does definitely seem like if you have a fondness for open world type games, which you definitely do,
yes,
then this seems to be doing something pretty unique in that space.
Yeah,
of the very movement based gameplay.
Totally. If you had an Assassin's Creed where the ground was lava, essentially,
sure, yeah.
That's
and you're
that's
a little more
me.
In control of your climbing too. You're not just going onto a building and sticking to it. You've got
a
stamina bar that you need to upgrade over time.
Yes,
and you can't climb particularly quickly or high early on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it is doing interesting stuff. I think I'm just finding it a bit of a slog because the story hasn't brought me in yet.
Yeah. The one thing that I will say as a concern is progression in terms of leveling and stuff like that seems to me. Artificially dragged out.
Right.
Like, I've been playing it for like seven, 8 hours, and I've been able to like upgrade, or I've had like upgrade points like 4 times, you know?
Right.
I've like got the first thing on the parkour, the second thing, and then a couple of combat ones because I did a lot of combat. But it feels like it's very slow.
I think that is part of what I mean by like it seeming a bit boring. To me, is that it seems bloated in that way. It seems like not intimidatingly, but like unapproachably self-important almost, where it's like, you want to spend this much time with me.
Yeah.
You know? So it's maybe just too demanding of a thing for what I'm getting out of it in terms of the story, especially.
That is exactly how I felt about Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Right.
And then it turned out to be, it's like, it is 100 hours long. Like, it's not interesting enough to be 100 hours long.
That is the same feeling I'm getting with this one, even though I do think that this is a more interesting game that's trying to do more different stuff than that game, which was literally trying to do the exact same stuff as the previous two.
Yes.
You know, this one is at least seems sincere about how hard it's trying.
Totally.
Other than its story.
I really think it has nailed first-person platforming as well.
The movement, I'm not even... there's been a couple of times when I've fucked up a jump and gone like, that wasn't my fault.
Mm,
right. And if you play back the recording, you'd know it wasn't my fault. Nothing ever is. It's pretty crazy.
I don't think I've encountered anything where it was like, why didn't I land that?
Yeah, most of the time it's been good and felt chunky and reliable in a positive way. So yeah, I think it is like a good game.
Mm.
It's just like missing that spark for me at this point. But I think that is due to taste.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
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 Well, there you go. We've got three big games from this week.
Yeah.
I think it's a glowing endorsement of Oli Oli World.
Yes.
A glowing endorsement of Sifu, if that's your thing.
I'm early on.
Yeah.
And it seems like it could put a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But I think that it seems very cool to me.
And at Dying Light, your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
But overall, people...
But if
it's a glowing UV light from
Benven. Yeah, I think that, keep in mind, if you like that type of game, it seems like a real good one of them.
Yes, yeah.
So, ignore me. Continue to. I want you to, if anything.
Unless you don't like that kind of game, in which...
Hey, then listen to me, which you probably won't, because if you don't like that type of game, you're elitist.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here for another week on Filthy Casuals.
Yeah, we should say, if you want to get on the socials for our new podcast that we're going to properly reveal and announce very, very soon, go to @PhoniesPodcast. Yeah, exactly. @PhoniesPodcast on Instagram and Twitter.
Yep.
You will see what the podcast is.
Yep.
And if you follow those, you will get the first episodes immediately when they drop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. We've been banking a season. It's nearly ready to go.
If you don't listen to the Patreon podcast or are not in the group, you'll have literally no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
go follow those socials and find out.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Get on there.
Yeah. But it'll be a brand new free podcast, whole new feed. So yeah, definitely get on the socials to find the links and stuff.
And this isn't going anywhere, we should say.
No. We'll talk about this more too. Like we'll have a little trailer before an episode one day or something.
Yeah, we'll do
like
a big it should be out next week, I guess. Yeah. So we'll do a big plug next week.
Yeah.
But filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode every week, the Bandcamp stuff that we do, the little premium episodes, and our YouTube stuff, 2 videos a week going up.
Yeah, what do we just do? Well, we did Jackass the video game.
Yep.
And we've been
playing Detroit.
More Detroit Become Human,
All sorts of different stuff on there, so check all of that out. Maybe we will see you in a, in a few seconds for some Nintendo Direct thoughts, but maybe
them.
Not. It's the ball's in their court.
It really is,
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
let's see whether or not Nintendo did something interesting.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.